Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here on such a nice, cold morning with you. After witnessing such a lovely thing, isn't it, to see a baptism? This is the first time I've ever spoken after somebody has been baptised, which made me think about what it would be useful to say after somebody was baptised. And I think probably the answer is the message should be the same thing that we all need to hear all of the time, whether we are just setting out on a new journey towards God's kingdom, or we've been walking that path for more years than we might care to remember. And the message is simple. All we need to do is do everything God wants us to do all of the time. It's easy, isn't it? All we have to do is follow all of God's rules and the perfect example of his son Jesus that's written down for us in our Bible, and we can read it whenever we want to. It's like being able to take an exam with an open book. But if that's all I needed to say, our Sunday services would be much quicker, wouldn't they? The reality is, though, it's not easy. In fact, it's really, really hard to do what God wants us to do. Now, if we look at this journey towards God's kingdom, it's like any big goal we might set ourselves in life. If, for example, we wanted to run our first marathon, and start by trying to run just 1 mile, it would probably feel like really hard work. Your legs might hurt, and you might struggle to breathe. And we would have no idea how we could possibly do that 26 times in a row without stopping. The fear of the amount of work that we think we have to do to achieve that big goal might seem too much to be able to understand and comprehend. How could we make ourselves capable of doing such a large thing? How is it possible that we will be able to accomplish it? As I said, this might feel the same, or we might feel the same, sorry, about our journey towards God's great kingdom. If we think about all the things that we have to face and do, and all the things we will have to act in the right way once we've experienced them before that kingdom comes, it might feel too big and like too much work. Especially when the reality is we can't go a week between meeting together on a Sunday without sinning. We don't even know when the kingdom is going to come. This task that we've set ourselves to be good, to follow God's word, could require us doing it for one more day, should Jesus come tomorrow. Or it could mean we follow what's written down in our Bible until the end of our life, whenever that may be. But I put it to you, and especially to our new sister Lily, that by taking the first step of baptism, whether that was many years ago, or if it was this morning, the 3rd of December, 2023, we have completed the hardest step. Because just like signing up to run your first marathon, we have said, yes, I am willing to commit. I'm willing to give it a go, and I will try to get the work done. Because in baptism, we say to ourselves and to God that we know he is the creator and the sustainer of heaven and earth. And we commit ourselves to honouring him and honouring his son, the Lord Jesus. And baptism, as I've said, is that very big first step onto the straight and narrow way towards God. Now, there's an account of a baptism in Matthew chapter 3 in our Bibles, And we can see, based on God's reaction to that, that he is very pleased by baptism. I've got all my references in here, so I'll read them out. You don't need to look them up if you don't want to. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We can sense, can't we? We can see in this small passage of Scripture how God is immensely pleased when a new disciple commits to him with baptism. Now, I've mentioned the straight and narrow way. I mentioned the straight and narrow way a second ago. And that's a description that we find in our Bible, isn't it, for working our way towards God's kingdom. Now, even though it can be difficult, and there's lots that we have to try to do to be a good disciple of God, we can't say that we don't know what we're trying to do. We can't say we don't know what we're aiming for. And this can be a really useful tool and focus for our life. Showing God in our lives doesn't have to be an overwhelming task. If we can approach it with a plan, with the right plan, it really doesn't have to be. And I have a suggestion of a plan, which hopefully will be useful to you and to everyone else in the room. And like all of the best plans, it's quite easy and simple. Certainly easy to remember, or I hope it is. Now the plan is, do this with love and pray. It's that easy and simple. All we have to do is do this with love and pray. But what does that mean? Well, if we can manage to do just what we are doing at any given time, one thing at a time, being mindful of God's word and commands, and acting upon them with love, then we should always be able to make steps towards God's kingdom. Not worrying about being sin-free all day, or all week, or all month. Not scared for what life will bring us next week or next month. Just worrying about the now. Simply honouring his name and honouring the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus now. Matthew 6, verse 34 reads, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So whatever we're doing, whether we're writing an exhortation for a Sunday, or we're helping with catering at the meeting, or we're just going about our normal everyday business, and we see somebody we can help, let us one thing at a time do what we can to show God's commands, God's kindness, and God's love. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28 reads, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." If we can live our life then, showing love in whatever we're doing, just one step at a time, we are following the two greatest commandments that Jesus said exist. Now, the second part of my little one-sentence plan is to pray. Now, praying is something Jesus did very frequently. Jesus did it every day. And we have many accounts and examples of Jesus praying. And I would like to think about two passages of Scripture about Jesus and prayer. The first one is in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. We read in this passage how even though Jesus was incredibly busy and constantly in the presence of people wanting his help and sometimes even bothering him, he still found time, and in fact didn't just find time, he made a big effort to create time to pray, which surely shows us how important it is. If it was as important for him to find time to pray as it was to heal people who needed his help, it must be something that we also should find time to do when we're truly trying to be good examples to the world and honouring God. So, Luke 15 and verse 5. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So even though crowds were coming to him for help, to be healed, he still found time to go and pray to God, to spend time in solitude, thinking of God and speaking to him. The second little bit of scripture that I'd like to look at is the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. It starts in verse 1, starts at the beginning of the chapter. And then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So this shows us then, from the mouth of Jesus, through prayer, we can show God we are thinking of him, and that we know we need his help and protection, and his guidance in all that we do. And that time that we spend thinking of him when we pray also works as a good tool to keep the thought of God at the forefront of our minds. Because when we are thinking of God, when God is in our minds, we are more likely to factor in how God would wish us to act in any given situation. If we only think of God on a Sunday, we will only act in a way that God finds pleasing on a Sunday. Now, if we can start to think a little bit about this bread and wine then, that represents the sacrifice of Jesus that our new sister Lily has been baptized into and has committed to and is going to take for the first time, we can think of the perfect example of Jesus and how he lived his life doing everything for God, one thing at a time, not worrying about tomorrow, where his food was going to come from, but completing his days, individual action after individual action, each bringing as much honour to God as it was possible to do. So, let us pray that the thought of Jesus living the way he lived and doing what he did will help us as much as possible to do the same and keep us walking towards God's wonderful kingdom, praying frequently for help and guidance, just as Jesus did, that we may keep on that straight and narrow way without wavering. Now, brothers and sisters, I know we won't always achieve this standard, this perfect example of Jesus, even if we try and do things one thing at a time. But let's really try not to worry about the whole journey, to worry about what the future might bring, but let's just do one thing at a time for the glory of God, making sure that we will be doing the best we can to honour God and his son Jesus, who made the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. And when we do stray from God's teaching, God's example, from the Bible, let us not be too proud to pray for forgiveness, because we can be confident that Jesus' sacrifice is enough for us to be saved, and we can have our sins washed away. So, in this coming week, should Jesus remain away, let's take each thing one step at a time and be ready to do the best we can to honour his life and the sacrifice that we remember every Sunday with the bread and with the wine. I'll finish with a short reading from 1 John and chapter 4. Starting in verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.